This is Glenn Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
And a very happy Monday to you. The gang's all here. I'm back. Natalie is back. Len is still here. You know, when I was away, Len, I got an email from a woman.
Wait, saying, time out.
What?
Good morning, Michael.
Oh, good morning. I find
you open the show. You say good morning to everybody.
I said morning to everybody.
You didn't say good. You didn't say hi to me. Well, I have something sitting over here.
I have something to tell you.
Go ahead.
While I was away, a woman emailed me and she said, "Len is ruining the show. Come back."
And I got an email saying, "This is great. Let him stay over there." That's what I said. So equal time there. So wait. So you're in Mykonos and Greece.
I was in Mykonos. I was in Delphi, where the Temple of Apollo is. I took my girlfriend to the Acropolis. And we saw all of the great works of art. We had a fabulous time. And I learned some great old... I met some old Greek guys sitting at a taverna, and they taught me an old Greek folk song.
It's called Mamma Mia.
No, it goes
Mama
like this.
Mamma Mia.
No, it goes like this. There ain't no danger, we can go too far. We start believing now that we can be what we are. Greece is the word. It's got move, it's got meaning.
Greece is the word.
Yeah, that was the old folk song.
That's the old Greek folk song.
That's the old Greek folk song. Frankie Valli, Greece is the word.
Can you go back now? Is there a flight leaving for Athens? Really? That's all you got
after
a week?
That's all I got. I was on the beach most of the time. We had a great time. So, hey, our big through. Len cannot handle the truth.
That's absolutely true.
It's true. No, this is interesting. So Rudy Giuliani is taking some hits today because he was on Meet the Press with old Chuck Todd.
And, got a problem with his goatee?
Well, I hate that exasperated goateed look, you know, that he always has.
Okay.
So Rudy says, the truth isn't the truth. I was, oh my God, the truth isn't the truth. This is Orwellian. Rudy is speaking, Len, like a lawyer, okay? And the issue is, did Trump tell Comey to lay off Michael Flynn? Trump says he didn't. Comey says he did. Where is the truth? Any lawyer will tell you, when they make a case, it is a narrative. It is a story they create. One side creates one side of the story. The other side creates another story. Where is the truth? The truth is always up for grabs. This is how the legal system works.
Yeah, well, you know what I say.
You can't handle the truth.
That's what I say.
Also in the big three, this is a good one. Talk about hypocrisy. So Asia Argento, she is one of the accusers of Harvey Weinstein. She says that he raped her. Well, it turns out that she paid $380,000 to an actor and a musician named Jimmy Bennett, whom she sexually assaulted in a California hotel room when he was 17, according to the New York Times.
Wow. So the one who's accusing Harvey actually had her own sexual abuse. Well, that's going to help Harvey, I think.
In 2013, Bennett was visiting Argento when she convinced a relative to leave them alone, the Times says. She then plied him with alcohol and sexually assaulted him, it's alleged in a filing. She paid him off $380,000, and she did take a selfie, which the Times has seen, of the two of them in bed together.
Woo.
So that's the end of Asia Argento.
Yeah, it's not good for her.
And rounding out the big three, the apocalypse of commuting has begun today because the Lincoln Tunnel, they're fixing the helix, I think. They've shut down lanes. It's going to be a nightmare. The subways are a nightmare. The LIRR is a nightmare.
New Jersey Transit is a nightmare.
So, yeah, so today.
So stay home.
Stay
home and, ride your bike. But so this is what you're referring to from Meet the Press with Rudy Giuliani.
I'm not going to be rushed into having him testify so that he gets trapped into perjury. And when you tell me that, you know, he should testify because he's going to tell the truth and he shouldn't worry, well, that's so silly because it's somebody's version of the truth, not the truth. He didn't have a conversation.
Truth is
about,
truth. I don't mean to go like...
it isn't truth. Truth isn't truth.
That's a lawyerly thing that he is saying. It's somebody's version of the truth. Every time you go to court, somebody presents one truth. Somebody presents another truth. The jury has to decide who is telling the
truth.
Here's what I decided. That's how lawyers work.
Yeah, here's what I decided. How they always say that a grand jury can indict a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, if the ham sandwich were Republican, Riedel would defend it. It's unbelievable. You'll defend anything.
Truth isn't truth.
Truth isn't truth.
You are taking that quote out of context, he was saying. He is saying that Trump said he did not ask Comey to go easy on Flynn. Comey says Trump did ask him to go easy on Flynn. Where is the truth? Where is the truth?
Truth isn't truth.
That's all Rudy Giuliani
said. Merriam-Webster put out a tweet defining truth. Come on, Michael, you can't. You're going to take Rudy's side? Rudy is unhinged.
Rudy is being a lawyer, Len.
Oh, boy. Rudy is being a lawyer. Were his eyes bulging? Truth isn't truth.
Truth isn't truth.
Yeah, right. You know what, Rudy?
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, what do you think he was saying? That there is no truth?
Well, I think now I have to defend him.
Yes.
I think in his mind, he's trying to say that one person's, like in a courtroom, one person's version of the truth is different from the other person.
This is what I just said.
Well.
So you agree with me?
No, but you just can't come out and say the truth isn't the truth. That's just nonsense.
You've got to put it in the context of what he was setting up.
Yes. And what was he setting up exactly?
Well, he's talking about, should Trump testify before Mueller? Now, there was a time where Trump's previous legal team and Trump himself thought he should. Giuliani clearly is pulling back from that. And Don McGahn, who, you know, spent 30 hours apparently with Mueller, according to The New York Times, he is cooperating with Mueller. But Trump says Trump gave him the okay to cooperate because he doesn't believe he's got anything to hide in the investigation in Russian collusion.
All I know is, you know, Bartlett spent the last week, and then he had Peter King on Friday. There's nothing there. There's no collusion. They found the, I just can't wait for something to come out in the Mueller report. Just you know, not that I'm hoping there's Russian collusion, just to prove you guys wrong, because I love you guys who say, there's nothing there. Well, you don't know until the investigation.
So far, there's nothing there. What do you mean so far?
Michael Cohen. Mueller's not going to tip his hand.
Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney, all right? What is he being investigated for now? Russian collusion? No. $20 million in loans from his taxi thing. What does that have to do with the Mueller investigation? What Mueller will get on Trump, I think, or will attempt to get on Trump, is an obstruction of justice for a crime that he didn't commit.
Well, it's not never the crime, it's the cover-up. So, there you go.
But there's no crime to cover up, Len.
But if you commit a crime, then there's no crime.
The cover-up has to do with the crime.
Right. Okay. But if you're covering up, and no, you could get accused of covering up. To cover up is a crime.
People always say with Watergate,
obstructing justice is a crime.
People always say with Watergate, oh, obstruction of justice was a big thing covering it up. Well, there was a crime in Watergate. They broke into the Democratic National Committee.
This is going to be very interesting. I just can't wait to see what Mueller comes out with, because he's going to come out with something, and it's going to be voluminous. He's not going to spend all that time and just issue a one page. All right, nothing to see here. Let's move on.
It is precisely because he has spent all that time and all of our taxpayer money.
Well, there's a lot to find.
That he's got to come up with something.
Yeah,
if he comes up with obstruction of justice for a crime that wasn't committed, the danger for Trump is if the Democrats take control of the House in the fall, they will use that to impeach him.
I think he doesn't have anything because he is squeezing like crazy people like Manafort, Michael Cohen, and now McGahn, squeezing them. Come on, rat on the president for me. He wouldn't be doing that if he had a case on his own.
I can't wait for this report. This is going to be so good. This is going to be great. I can't wait to see you guys try to twist yourselves into pretzels when the report comes out.
You must have been jumping up and down when you saw the New York Times story that Don McGahn, the lawyer for the White House, testified or spoke to Mueller for 30 hours. But if you read the Times story closely, they don't have anything in there that they know what he said.
Yeah. Back up.
But the way they framed it was, oh boy, he must be giving all the dirt on Trump. And then you look really carefully through that story.
See, truth is not the truth, Michael.
Exactly. Exactly. All the truth that's not fit to print. That's the New York Times. Wake up over there, Len.
Are you done? Are you finished?
Welcome back, Michael.
Why don't you then just store up all this verbiage while you're over there and just spitting it all out in one? Oh, boy.
Every morning I got up in Mykonos and I'd say, Len, you're wrong. And my girlfriend said, you're on vacation. Stop it. Leave us alone.
So no matter what I say, it's wrong. That's great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the old joke. If a husband voices an opinion in the woods and his wife isn't there to hear it, is he still wrong? It's the same deal.
Yes, he's wrong.
Yeah, he's still wrong. So, but, you know, you got me all wrong. I'm not jumping up and down over McGahn.
You're not jumping
up and down over all this. And I've told you before, it's fine if they find nothing. But for you guys to just assume there's nothing, I think you're both making a big mistake.
Well, when all comes out, all will be revealed, and Bartlett and I will be dancing on your grave, Len. So there.
Are you glad to have me back? Oh, I'm thrilled.
All right, don't go away. When we come back, you're not going to believe this one. A woman got into the wrong car and almost got raped. We're going to have the details. But first, let's get some traffic from Bernie Biden.
WOR.
right, 6:23. The gang's all back together, including Natalie. Natalie, did you miss us? Did you think about us every day
while
you were luxuriating in Italy?
Did you miss the dulcet tones of our voices in the morning?
No. You know, I was in Europe and I was six hours ahead.
Right.
So when I was getting my day started, you guys were getting your day started. So
wait a second. When you were starting your day,
well, you could have helped us out then if you were up. I mean, we were stuck with Blaine and Anthony. My God, the show was going off the rails.
Well, we kept getting emails from your fan. Natalie has this guy.
I have a guy?
Yeah, this guy keeps, oh, we miss Natalie. When's she coming back? We miss her insights. We miss her voice. I said,
Well, I'm back, my guy.
Back. Well, you know who's happy that the Riedel's back? George tweeted us, at Len Michael WOR. Very nice tweet. Oh, my, that insufferable bore is back. After a week of relative pleasant talk radio, the ugly rhetoric of Michael returns. So George's a big fan of
you. Thank you, George. It's always good to hear from you.
Is George my guy?
No, your guy's Joe.
Oh,
no,
George is Len's guy, I would think, Natalie.
Well, I'm glad to be back. And I did.
Well,
I followed along.
You did? Did you ever listen on the app out there?
No.
No. So how'd you follow along?
On Twitter.
Oh, on Twitter.
And I saw the rundowns.
Oh, you did see the rundown.
I did.
Did our shows look good?
They looked presentable.
Oh, my God.
Natalie taking her shots at Blaine.
I know.
Boy, that's passive aggressive.
No, thank you, Blaine. No, honestly, to be able to take 2 weeks off is a luxury at any time.
Even on vacation, Natalie's still a hall monitor. I bet your kids had a blast with you.
They did. No, I've never taken 2 weeks off. I have to tell you, it's a little too much time for me.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to be back.
She couldn't wait to come back.
I was emailing you.
Oh, who wants to be in Rome? I was looking at the Colosseum of the Vatican.
Oh, I don't like my happy villa. I don't want to have rosé every time with lunch.
I want to get back to Tribeca.
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, I don't want to have all these wonderful tomatoes that come from Tuscany. I want to be back here.
Just tell me if you had any pasta bolognese.
I did. Oh, of course. Yeah. Delish.
Red wine with ice? Yeah.
No ice.
Oh, no. Len, you can't.
Dude, I didn't want to get kicked out of the country.
Of course. Yeah, Len ices his red wine. Ridiculous.
Port bourbon back to the U.S. Oh, I should just wine.
Well, I am going to ask all of our listeners, because they know so much. There is a drink that my son drank all over the place.
Yeah.
A drink that you could get here, Fanta.
Yeah.
It's an orange soda.
Fanta or Fanta?
Fanta. They call it Fanta there. Fanta. Yeah.
Fanta.
Which is an orange soda, but it is 100% different in Europe.
Yeah.
It's more of an orange-juiced, sparkling kind of drink.
Yeah, you can get it here.
Where can I get it?
High-end grocery stores like Gourmet Garage.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
places
that you don't shop.
Right. Not at the Stop and Shop in Jersey.
You can't get it at Key Foods, Natalie.
There's nothing wrong with my Stop and Shop.
All right, kids, let's get back to work here. Remember earlier this month, I mean, this Uber thing, you know, obviously the city has now capped the number of Ubers, but this has turned out to be a real problem. Remember a guy, a tourist from Boca by the name of Sander Szabo, was knocking on windows looking for his car. So this guy, who turns out to be assistant Wake Forest basketball coach, gets out of his car. It wasn't the Uber. He gets out of his car, cold cocks him. Guy hits his head on the pavement, dies 2 days later. Now the Wake Forest coach is charged with assault. Well, now a 39-year-old woman climbed into a car in Brooklyn, the corner of Fulton and Logan Street. She thought it was her for-hire vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it wasn't. The driver climbs into the drives her a short way, climbs in the back seat, pistol whips her, and then tries to rape her.
Oh, my God.
Now, she screamed, so she got away. So the attacker gave up, but she had to go to the hospital, treated for pain and bruises. But this whole business, I mean, everything looked like an Uber car. I mean, you drive along, everything.
True, but you know what you have to say is don't get into the car until you're sure. And what you do is you say to the Uber driver, or you might drive, and the Uber driver will have your name. So you'll say, who am I? And if the Uber driver knows your name, then you know that's the driver that you hired.
Well, I had a guy trying to get in my car. What the hell are you doing? Get out of my, you know, that kind of thing.
Your car doesn't look like an Uber.
No, it doesn't. Uber's usually black. Mine's silver.
I know. And here's someone I don't feel sorry for, a would-be Park Slope purse snatcher.
Yeah.
Accidentally gave himself the death penalty on Saturday night. He ran on.
Did you just giggle there?
Yeah, well, I don't have any. I mean, the guy's a thief.
So you have no sensitivity for the fact?
The guy's a thief. He grabbed this woman's Louis Vuitton purse, and then the cops were after him. He ran onto the subway tracks, and he tripped over the third rail, and
so he
got the electric chair.
Wow.
I don't have any sympathy for this guy. He's a thief.
None?
The world is better off with one less thief. Wow. Fry him. That's what happened to him.
You are cold. Who, do we have
the guy's a criminal.
Do we have an identification on this deceased?
No, there is no identification on the mugger. This happened, this was near 4th Avenue and 9th Street around 7:30 on Saturday night.
Wow.
He was on the northbound R train tracks, and that's when he tripped and fell on the third rail, and when police found him, he was off French fry.
Well, what idiot? What idiot tries to escape by running onto the subway tracks?
A guy wants to
a French fry.
All right.
Sorry, call me heartless, but the guy's a thief.
Welcome back, Michael.
You feel sorry for him, Len?
Yeah, Len. Got some pity for the thief?
I feel sorry for George. He says, after a week of relative pleasant talk radio, the ugly rhetoric of Michael has returned. Welcome
French
back,
fry
Michael.
Was funny. I thought that was quite witty.
Very cute. Time for latest news headlines. Joe Bartlett, who did ride shotgun for me for a week, is back on the news desk. So good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, Len. You're going to want to avoid the Lincoln Tunnel this morning and probably the next
For the rest of your life, I think.
Well, work has begun on this Route 495 overpass, closing down a lane in each direction, and major congestion is expected.
I will face it. I will face it all the way.
Ridiculous there. You're not going to be able to have anybody come through.
All right, we've got to check on that. We've got Scott Pringle out there. He's going to give us a report at 7 o'clock. Traffic's already building. I'll give you a hint. Work will not be complete until 2021. Rudy Giuliani, the president's attorney, says the truth isn't the truth. Telling NBC's Meet the Press, the president should not testify before special counsel Robert Mueller because it could be a perjury trap. He says people could have different versions of the truth. Governor Cuomo says President Trump is un-American. Spoke at a church in Crown Heights, governor accusing Trump of dividing Americans.
You may be a slick salesman who fooled many people in this country, but you didn't fool me, and you didn't fool New Yorkers.
Oh, God,
was this
can't
the same guy
it.
Who said in America wasn't
yeah,
that great?
Yeah, well, I heard about that this in Greece.
Oh, that was a big story.
America was not great, yes.
You should have heard what our listeners called him.
What?
One
a thug?
One called him a mook. What was the second guy? Mook?
A nitwit?
And one called him a whore. I don't know what that meant, but none of them supported him, Michael. You'd be shocked. Not one.
I like Cynthia Nixon's comeback, though. She said just proves how tone deaf he is trying to be progressive.
Right, yeah.
She did say that, yeah.
Anyway, so this is probably the governor's response to the president's tweet to his un-American thing, or it's America not great comment.
There you go.
All right, hey, how about a good story here? But
you got one?
Yeah, I do. But before I do
another that, thief got electrocuted?
No, this is a good story.
Another French friend.
Let me tell you, the news is brought to you by NYC Pain MD, treatment for arthritis pain. Call 1-855-OLD-KNEE, 855-653-5633. Young Philadelphia girl has been cured of a brain tumor after she was kissed by Pope Francis.
Whoa.
Gianna Masia Antonio was just 1 year old back in 2015, when Pope Francis visited Philadelphia.
I remember that.
She had been diagnosed with histiocytosis, a rare condition that made it impossible to have surgery. So the Pope kissed her on the head during his visit.
I remember, yeah.
She underwent some chemo, and according to her family, has had a miraculous recovery.
Wow.
She will begin preschool in the fall.
So he'll be nominated for sainthood eventually.
Well, you have to do a miracle to be a saint.
Yeah. I think the chemo and the medical treatment had a little more to do with the Pope's kids.
Oh, such a cynic.
Go back to Greece. I agree with Joy.
I agree.
Get out of here. You blew up miracles, please, people. Grow up.
Atheist is back. Welcome back, Michael.
That's a miracle.
I'm delighted for the girl, but I think it's medical science and not a kiss from the Pope.
It's really good that Riedel could turn a good news story into something different. That's not easy to do.
Really pooped on that one.
Oh, I pooped on the Pope.
You poped.
Man.
All right. When we get back, the Mets and Staten Island both love Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And you got us. Speaking of religion, you got to sign up that nun.
Oh, she's great.
She's good. Hey, let's see what's doing, especially by the Lincoln Tunnel. Here's Bernie Viner.
In the morning on 710 WOR.
Happy Monday, everybody. We're all here. And, boy, Natalie does have some fans, Len.
Yeah, listen to this one. I thought they were talking about you.
What did they say?
Listen, Michelle tweeted us, at Len Michael WOR. Welcome back to the queen of WOR.
Just because I cover Broadway, you thought that was me?
I missed hearing your voice. Natalie got a second fan.
I have two fans now.
Two.
Awesome.
Len thought that woman was referring to me.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
You thought it was referring to you.
Just because I cover Broadway.
Yes, you do. And I cover very well, by the way.
And I know the lyrics to Grease.
Right.
That's a song I learned in Greece.
Something definitely wrong with you. Let's count the ways. Let's see. Atheist, Republican, covers Broadway.
It's all screwed
up. Straight.
It's bizarre. Crazy. It's terrible. So, hey, the Mets won last night, 8-2. They beat the Phillies in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, which is the home of the Little League World Series.
It is, and they got a bunch of runs. There were no home runs in the game, but Ahmad Rosario led the way.
Here's the 1-2 on the way. Fastball hit on the ground up the middle. Base hit going into center field. That should score two. Bautista's in. Plawecki digging for the plate. The throw cut off by Santana. And so two more runs score as Rosario is on at first with a two-run single. And the Mets have a 4-0 lead here in the second inning in a game that means a whole lot to the Phillies.
Yeah, the Phillies are battling for first. And Jason Vargas is the pitcher. As you know, Michael, he has not won a game for the Mets since May 30th.
Yes.
He won yesterday, and Mets won 3-5 from Philadelphia, so that enabled Howie Rose to say...
Zamora sets now the pitch. Breaking ball in there, strike three called, put it in the books. The New York Mets have won the second Major League Baseball Little League Classic, and evidently because they are going to shake hands, now the Phillies are going to yell 2-4-6-8, who do we appreciate? Mets. Mets. Yay, Mets.
Oh, my God.
That's as bad as you do in Greece, right?
There was no enthusiasm for the Mets win there in Philly.
Well, it sounded like fireworks going off in the background. So,
Have you been to this ballpark in Williamsport?
It's a lovely town, and it's a great tradition. And I didn't realize that. I went out there a few years ago, and I did not realize that all the tickets are free. I don't think it was free for the Mets and Phillies. But for the Little League World Series, all tickets are free, which surprised me.
And Staten Island, the kids are doing really well.
Kids are doing great. They won again. They've won two games there now. Now they beat. They first beat Des Moines. Then they beat Houston 2-1. So they're getting good pitching, which puts them now. There are four teams left that battle. This is a round robin. So now they go to single elimination. And there are four teams left to win the U.S. championship. So they're in the semifinals. They now play Hawaii. If they win that, they would play for the U.S. championship. Mm. And if they win that, then they would play for the overall championship against probably South Korea. I don't know who's going to be the foreign champ.
How old are the kids in Little League?
We got to be under 12.
Oh, so that's really Little League.
Yeah, but some of these, if you look at some of the kids.
Some look like
they
men.
They have mustaches.
But it's a weird age.
Are they being paid, some of these kids?
No. In ice cream after the game, maybe. But 12 is a weird age for boys, because some kids have gone through puberty and some have not.
They have squeaky voices and pimples.
And some don't. But also, there have been controversies. Like no, there have been controversies over there. What are you picking on Anthony for now, our assistant producer?
I see him through the window. He's got his little league baseball cap on.
No, but there have been controversies before with especially teams from other places like Dominican and other countries where they can't verify birth certificates.
Right, yes.
So, you have to verify the birth certificates, and if you can't verify them, you can't play.
Well, the Russians are cheating. They're putting 40-year-old guys on the Little League team.
I don't think Russia's had a Little League team in the Little League World Series. By the way, before we leave the Mets, David Wright, who's been in rehab games in St. Lucie, desperate to get back to the bigs. Well, he had been 0-for-14 in his four rehab games. Finally, last night, he was 2-for-3. So David Wright's got his first couple of hits, and he said, I guess I feel a little bit more calm up there, less anxious. So who knows? Maybe in the month of September, I'm sure we will. We'll see him in the dugout, and maybe he'll get another at bat before this season winds down. So
and at 7:30, I'm giving away my personal pair of seats to the Mets. And at 8:30, Len will have the turning point.
I will. Hey, did you see this nun in Chicago?
Oh, this is great.
This is absolutely hilarious. Her name is Sister Mary Jo Sobiech. Now, a lot of people throw out the first ball at game, but they don't do the whole, as you know, it is 60 feet 6 inches from the pitcher's mound.
That's a long way.
Yeah. What'd you say, Nat?
The video. Yeah.
Oh, the video.
Well, explain the nun story, yeah.
Yeah, so the nun, we have the video of the nun. You got to go see Sister Mary Jo Sobiech. First of all, she takes the ball on the mound and just throws it up in the air and flexes it off her biceps and then catches it.
Like a pro.
And then she delivers a perfect curveball for a strike from 60 feet 6 inches. I'm telling you, this was the highlight of the weekend. You got to go check it out. We got the video up at 710WOR.com/
Lennon Michael. But
she's got to be on the Sound of Music softball team. That's how good she is.
Well, manager of the White Sox said, can you play for us?
Can she play for us? Well, actually, the Mets don't need a pitcher because we've got great pitchers.
I've got a, well, this is the White Sox. I got a couple of golf stories you're not going to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So this Kevin Stadler, mm-hmm. who's playing on the web.com tour. That's kind of the tour that tries to get to the PGA. He's been up on the PGA tour, but Kevin is the son of Craig Stadler, longtime pro. So he's playing on Friday. He slams a 7-iron to the ground in anger.
Oh, I saw that.
The club hits off his foot. It broke, flew into the crowd, and struck a spectator in the head who required stitches.
Has he been charged with anything?
No, but he feels terrible. He absolutely feels terrible.
Wow, that is bad.
Yeah, so obviously a very freakish accident. They say Kevin is devastated, quite worried. Anyway.
Lawsuit, hello.
Yeah, well, listen to this. Speaking of lawsuits, now golf is a friendly game. That's even one of the sports that you participate in, right?
I love golf.
Yeah, well, there's a country club in Plymouth. Police were called to the Southers Marsh Golf Club. Two golfers were having a fight. Mm-hmm. And one bit off the other guy's finger.
What?
Nothing to see here.
What?
Yeah.
He bit off his finger.
Yeah,
bit off
the other guy's finger down to his knuckle. And the 47-year-old biter, who was not identified, was arrested at the scene and charged with mayhem. Sounds like that insurance commercial.
Wow.
Mayhem like me. Well, anyway.
Everyone's going crazy, even on the golf course, which is supposed to be a genteel
fun
sport.
The charge of mayhem means malicious intent to maim or disfigure carries up to 20 years in prison. So,
wow.
Ooh!
He's not going to be on the 19th hole anytime soon.
Well, we're in a digital world, you know.
When we come back, hypocrisy, thy name is Asia Argento. She accused Harvey Weinstein of raping her, but now she is accused of sexual misconduct with an underage kid. Unbelievable. But first, let's get some traffic from Bertie Biter.
In the morning
on 710 WOR.
Wow, the worm really turns here. This is an unbelievable story, Michael, that broke over the weekend. Asia Argento was the actress who claimed that Harvey Weinstein raped her.
Yeah.
And Harvey's been charged. I don't believe it was in her case, but he's been charged. And at the time, when the charges came out against Harvey Weinstein, she put out a statement saying, after decades of abusing women with impunity, finally the beginning of the end of Harvey Weinstein's reign of terror. I wish I could say this brings me peace. Unfortunately, the damage he has done to women can never be undone. He belongs in prison. Well, not so fast, Asia Argento. Now the story comes out in the New York Times that she paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. She had a sex accuser,
mm-hmm.
an underage actor who was 17 at the time, actor and musician Jimmy Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
And he claimed that she sexually assaulted him in a California hotel room in 2013 when he was 17.
Yep.
She has paid him $380,000. So
age of consent in California, I believe, is 18.
18, correct.
Yeah.
So the headline is a shocking turn of events in Harvey Weinstein case. You know, well, that's geez.
Well, and it's even creepier because she met this guy, Jimmy Bennett, when he was just 7 years old, and he played her son in the movie The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things. And he claims that she kind of became a mentor to him. But in 2013, when he was 17, she plied him with alcohol in the hotel room and sexually assaulted him. The Times says they have seen a selfie she took where they're both half naked in bed. So she paid him off $380,000. I tell you, I think Harvey Weinstein is a real pig, and I'm sure that most of the allegations against him are true.
This one may be true, too,
right,
about Asia Argento.
Yes, but when Harvey Weinstein's on trial now, and anything can happen in the courtroom, and his lawyers are going to dig up all the dirt they can on these women who are accusing Weinstein and try to discredit them, and I would not be surprised if he is not convicted in the courthouse of rape.
Well, this is going to be a battle royale whether this story can be brought into court in this case, because
yeah.
I'm sure this will be one of the cases that the defense will use to try to impugn the reputation of the accusers.
No question about it. They will definitely bring it in there. But, you know, this is interesting, though, because women can be hashtag me, too. Did you see another interesting story that came out while I was on vacation and caught my eye? A famous professor at NYU, a professor of German philosophy, her name is Avita Ronell. She has been accused of sexually harassing one of her students, a male student, whose name is Nimrod Reitman. A lot of Germans down there at NYU. Nimrod said that she would kiss him, grope him, send him uncomfortable emails. Now, the weird twist here is that she's a lesbian and he's gay.
Say this again?
Yes. She's a lesbian.
Let me try to sort this out. Yeah. She, the one doing the...
The woman, the NYU professor who's accused of sexual misconduct with a male student.
Yeah.
She is a lesbian and the male student is gay.
Well, how's that work exactly?
Well, I mean, you know...
I'm very confused. Why, if she's a lesbian, why would she be going after this male student?
Well, maybe, you know, women's sexuality is... Women's sexuality is fluid. She finds him attractive. It is fluid. It's fluid.
Yeah.
Natalie, am I not right here?
Natalie's not getting involved in this one at all.
Natalie, are you Natalie?
Natalie's turning her mic. Welcome back.
I don't even know how to respond
Welcome
to
back,
this
Natalie.
One.
Oh, boy.
Sex well, is fluid? True. What are
Women's
you talking about here?
Women's sexuality is often fluid.
Yeah, there are
fluids
involved, bodily fluids.
A lot of women, you know, they go through that phase, their lesbiotic phase, where they're playing field hockey.
Did you say lesbiotic phase?
They go through a lesbiotic phase, you know,
messianic
high school,
era. What is
they're
the
playing field hockey? I don't know. I've seen it in movies.
Jeez. What the hell are you talking about? What are you drinking over
but
there?
But anyway, let's go back to let's go back to this story. So, how does this start?
So she had him in her class,
right? So this is about control. This is actually not about.
Yes, but he claims that she kissed him, groped him, and she sent him all of these very sexually suggestive text messages. She probably find the guy cute, looks that he's gay. Maybe he
Wanted
looks like a little girl.
Maybe a little, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
She
yeah.
likes his gay side.
Yeah. She likes his gay side.
Yeah, well, there,
and she wanted to cuddle with him. Yeah. I'd read some of the texts, and they're pretty creepy stuff.
Wow.
And, you know, but he's gay. He's married, apparently. So this is it, though. The worm has turned. How does the shoe fit, ladies, when it pinches your foot?
No,
in
it is go both
me
ways.
Too
now,
era.
Don't remember Asia Argento when she showed up at the Cannes Film Festival?
I have a few words to say. In 1997, I was raped by Harvey Weinstein here at Cannes. I was 21 years old. This festival was his hunting ground.
Remember that one? The hunting grounds of the Cannes Film Festival. But listen, now that she's being accused of paying off and in essence raping a 17-year-old.
Her hunting ground was the playground, apparently.
Wow. That's just unbelievable. I mean, she's really, I don't know what to say. I mean,
You wonder what's going through her mind. She's thinking, I'm going to come out against Harvey Weinstein. She knows what she did. She paid the kid $380,000.
And apparently the non-disclosure agreements do not count in civil cases. Did you know that one out in California? How's that for a
And the Times said it received details of the settlement through an anonymous source, and it came in encrypted email.
Uh-huh. I wonder who sent it to the Times.
Encrypted email. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Harvey Weinstein's people are busy at work, I have a feeling.
Well, I'm sure they're happy today. Hey, coming up, You Can't Handle the Truth. Rudy Giuliani, you gotta love this one. It's all coming up after news with Joe Bartlett here on 710. It's 7 o'clock.
Herman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710. WOR.
Hey, Joe, they bring anything back? Natalie's in Italy and Riedel's in Greece. What'd they bring back?
Pictures to make me envious. That's it.
Pictures?
Yeah, we were
nothing?
Natalie and I were comparing villas that
nothing?
We stayed at. We showed Bartlett
nothing.
Pictures.
I was
going to
show him pictures from my vacation place at Hilton Head, but they said, no, not interested.
Not interested. You got to up your vacation, Joe. Come on. Natalie's in Italy. I'm in Greece.
Joe and I are toiling away in Tribeca. A bottle of wine, a t-shirt, nothing, a postcard, nothing.
Well, wait till Friday, folks. I did bring something back that I'm going to bring in for everybody to enjoy.
Why really? Friday?
I don't know. I think it's a good way to end the
little ouzo, a little something to drink.
Yeah. Very good bottle of, now I know Joe doesn't like rosé.
Oh, my God.
A very good bottle of white wine from Greece I'm going to bring in on Friday. So everybody can have a taste of the sea.
And Natalie, what'd you bring?
I traveled with carry-on, So I could not bring back anything but 3.2 ounces of liquid, so there's no wine for anyone here.
Natalie, there's something called duty-free stores. You can buy it before you get on the plane.
I was late. I did not have time to stop at the store.
Wait a second. You didn't check any bags when
nothing.
You went to Europe?
I went to 13...
How do you do that?
13 days in a carry-on.
With really? Same underwear
wow.
every day?
No. Well, in the villa, and then I stayed at an villa. Airbnb in an apartment in Rome.
Wow.
And we had laundry.
So. No that's check cool. bags.
Wow.
That is cool.
It was impressive, I have to say.
All right, let me do the big three. Then I want to get back to Natalie and another issue she brought up. Our big three. Now we know the truth is not the truth. Thank you for that, Rudy Giuliani. I never knew. Also in the big three, that actress who's accusing Harvey Weinstein of rape, well, she's now accused of paying off a young man that she allegedly sexually assaulted when he was 17. And rounding out the big three, this is the first Monday of those lane closures outside the Lincoln Tunnel. Good luck with that. We'll have a live report later this morning at 7:30, which is about 22 minutes from now. Michael Riedel's personal mess seats up for grabs, and we also have the Turning Point contest at 8:30 for more tickets. Now, Natalie was saying how her son over in Italy loved Fanta or Fanta, however you pronounce it, Fanta, I think.
Fanta
in Italy, Fanta here.
So over in Italy, she said it's unbelievable. The kid, your son, just loved it. It's really made with real juices, and you were wondering how to get it. Well, Chris just tweeted us at LenMichaelWR. Well, the first part you knew, he said try Amazon, which you did.
I did. It's also like $35 for four bottles.
He said also try Bottle King on Route 23 in Wayne.
Oh, yes.
He said it could be sold there as a mixer. And Chris says, welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you, Chris. And I pass the Bottle King every day going home, so I will check it out.
It's not cheap, though, that Fanta.
Most Italian delis would have that.
Fanta?
I've seen them.
Well, yeah? No, but the really? Italian version of
yeah.
it?
Well, I don't know. I
mean, how many Italian delis do you go in? Are there?
There's a lot of Italian delis all over the place.
Deli. Delicatessen.
Yeah, but okay. Hey, so Rudy Giuliani was on Meet the Press with your friend Chuck Todd, Michael Riedel, and this is the long version of what stirred everything up yesterday.
I'm not going to be rushed into having him testify so that he gets trapped into perjury. And when you tell me that, you know, he should testify because he's going to tell the truth and he shouldn't worry, well, that's so silly because it's somebody's version of the truth, not the truth. He didn't have a conversation.
Truth is
about,
truth. I don't mean to go like.
It isn't truth. Truth isn't truth.
There you go, Michael. Truth is not truth. There you have it.
Truth isn't truth.
Yeah, when you take the quote out of context. All right, it sounds Orwellian. But in the context, as you just played, he is speaking like a lawyer. When lawyers go up against each other, they present their version of the truth. That's all Giuliani is saying. It's just a legal maneuver. Mm. And there Chuck Todd, you know, stroking his goatee, his exasperated goatee look there. Mm. Oh, I just have to say, being a journalist, we believe in the truth.
Just for argument's sake, what if a Hillary Clinton had said,
truth isn't truth?
Well, you would have said what then, Michael?
I would say everything that we know about her. She's a liar. She's always been a liar.
She doesn't tell the truth. We already know that.
Ever.
That's her motto.
You know what I say?
She's a lying pantsuit.
What I say about you, Michael?
You can't handle the truth.
That's what I say. Unbelievable. Truth isn't truth.
I will tell you something. I will show you, Len, how the mainstream media wrenches the truth to suit its purposes.
Oh, yeah? You got an example here?
You read the bombshell story over the weekend. The Times saying that White House legal counsel Don McCann cooperated with Mueller.
Right.
Spent 30 hours being interviewed by Mueller.
That's correct.
The Times portrays it as, oh, wow, he's really giving all that dirt up on Trump. This is it. This is incredible. He's like John Dean and Richard Nixon. Well, I read the entire story. The Times has no idea what he said. And one thing they bury in the story is that Trump had to waive executive privilege for McGann to cooperate.
And you know who thought that was a big mistake? Chris Christie, yeah.
This shows what a C-level legal team the president had at the beginning in Ty Cobb and John Dowd. You never waive that. Absolutely not. And it put Don McGann in an impossible situation. Because once you waive that privilege and you turn over all those documents, Don McGann has no choice then but to go in and answer everything. Every question they can ask him. And this is not in the president's interest.
So well, we don't know about that. Yeah. Maybe Don McGann didn't give them anything.
But the president waived executive privilege because I think at one point with his lawyers, their stance was, we have nothing to hide. We'll go testify. We'll let everyone testify. That was their stance in the beginning. It's changed quite a bit right now, Michael.
If you think, if Trump had something to hide, he would never have let McGahn testify. When Clinton and Nixon had something to hide, they fought all the time for executive privilege. They did not want their lawyers testifying. They fought extensive legal battles with prosecutors over executive privilege.
More from Chris Christie.
Don McGahn was saying from the beginning, if you want to fire Mueller, I won't participate and I'm out of here. Don McGahn was giving the right advice and saying the right things to the president from the beginning.
So he's criticizing Cobb.
Yep.
And he's calling them C-level. What do you think of that?
C-level. Well, there you are. I think
Cobb and John Dowd, the two of them.
I mean, as you say, we have to wait and see what Mueller comes up with. But it's entirely possible that Don McGahn didn't give them much that they can use.
So while you were away, I would have loved your take on the president pulling the security clearance of former CIA director John Brennan. Your thoughts?
Why shouldn't he? Brennan is a partisan now. Why should have a partisan who exists to do nothing but go on MSNBC and CNN to attack the president, why should he still have a security clearance? He's a partisan hack. That's what he is. You give a security clearance to a partisan hack?
You know, now he's threatening some legal action. He said,
that's going nowhere.
If my clearances and my reputation, as I'm being pulled through the mud now, if this is the price we're going to pay to prevent Donald Trump from doing this to other people, to me, it's a small price to pay. If it means going to court, I will do that.
The president has every right to revoke the clearances of former government officials. There are too many clearances that they have out there anyway, and a lot of them use them so they can get money by giving speeches with their insider knowledge and information.
Here's John Brennan on Meet the Press.
I think it was a clear signal to others who still have their security clearances, both in the government as well as outside, that if you cross him, if you speak out against him, he is going to use whatever tools he might have at his disposal to punish you.
Well, that seems petty, doesn't it?
No.
No? Doesn't seem thin-skinned to you?
The reason that former government officials still have security clearance,
so they can help out.
Is so that they can help out. Now, Brennan is not going to help out. He's on television.
I was going to ask him to help out.
Denouncing Trump all the time. So why should he have his security clearance?
This is yet another example of his egregious abuse of power and authority.
Abuse of power. Egregious, I tell you. Egregious. And then here's where he threatened this legal action.
I am going to do whatever I can personally to try to prevent these abuses in the future. And if it means going to court, I will do that.
Take that.
You really think he's going to be able to win in the court of law saying the president can't revoke your security clearance?
The president has the right.
Absolutely.
To do whatever he wants. Yeah.
Sure.
I have seen the lights blinking red in terms of what Mr. Trump has done and is doing and is bringing this country down on the global stage. And he's fueling and feeding divisiveness within our country.
All right. Give him
a
show.
I think he is, don't you?
Give him a show on MSNBC.
You don't think the president is sowing any divisiveness in this country?
Brennan also wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times where he says, there is Russian collusion. No evidence. He just said the statement, there is Russian collusion. Gave no evidence.
Yeah, he did do that.
But he gave no evidence. Did you read his piece? There was no evidence in there.
CIA guy. You got to believe him, right?
Please. Once upon a time, the left hated the CIA. Once upon a time, the left hated the FBI. Now the CIA and the FBI, the left thinks they're all heroes.
Are you telling me the two sides flip-flop based on their needs and wants and desires?
Yes.
Shocking, I tell you. Hey, coming up next, we have Michael's personal Mets tickets. This is the Mets-Giants game coming up next week. And, we're going to have ABC White House correspondent Karen Travers join us. We haven't spoken to her in a while. There's a lot to discuss. There's always a lot to discuss with Bernie Vider and Travers.
And a very good Monday morning to you. We're going to jump down to Washington, D.C. to check in with ABC News correspondent at the White House, Karen Travers, who always tells us the truth. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good,
how
good.
You?
All right. So this the truth is not the truth quote is being picked up all over the place. People are jumping all over Rudy. But don't you have to put it in some context?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like to hear what he said after that, you know, his next quote, he was saying the president says he didn't talk about Michael Flynn with former FBI Director Jim Comey. Comey says they did talk about it. So Giuliani's point is, tell me what the truth is. And that the president, you know, could be just walking into a political or legal landmine there if he does sit down for this interview. You know, there has been so much back and forth. The president wants to do the interview. His lawyers do not. as it stands, it's been pretty consistent from the lawyers. The president is not going to sit down for an interview with Robert Mueller, despite him publicly saying so many times he's got nothing to hide and that's why he wants to do it.
Speaking of Mueller, speaking of the truth, Karen, the president yesterday on Twitter taking on the failing New York Times and the story they wrote about Don McGahn, the Times claiming that he has turned on the president when it's just the opposite, says Trump. And then I thought this was rather remarkable. The president tweeted, some members of the media are very angry at the fake story in the New York Times. They actually called to complain and apologize. Any idea who called? No. Do you think there's any truth to that whatsoever?
Did you call, Karen? Come on, level with us.
Yeah, people. You know, I don't know if I would bet a dollar on who that was or if anybody actually did. I mean, the president said that the New York Times was implying that McGahn was a rat and had turned on him. I mean, that certainly wasn't the way that the story was received. But that right there gives a little bit of an insight into the window of, you know, maybe what the president is thinking about what Don McGahn said. Sources tell us that McGahn met with Mueller at least three times. He was questioned more extensively than any other White House staffer, and that Mueller wanted to speak with McGahn about the firing of Jim Comey in 2017 and any involvement of McGahn in the Sessions, Jeff Sessions, recusing himself from the Russia investigation. We had reported earlier this year that McGahn was one of those White House officials who were very fiercely against the president firing Mueller last summer when the president wanted to do that. So perhaps that's something that comes up there too. But as the New York Times phrased it, you know, these are all these episodes that are at the center of the question of whether the president obstructed justice. The president and his lawyers say that they encourage full cooperation. They have nothing to hide. But New York Times, you know, kind of continuing this string yesterday, was saying there certainly seems to be a sense from the president's lawyers that they don't know exactly what Don McGahn said and how potentially damaging or helpful it could have been. Well, so publicly, Rudy Giuliani said yesterday that he was told McGahn was a strong witness for the president.
Yes, and something that has been a little bit lost in all of this talk is that the president waived executive privilege allow McGahn to talk.
Full cooperation.
Exactly. So, I mean, can you not draw the conclusion that the president has nothing to hide and he let his lawyer talk to Mueller?
Certainly. Yeah, and that's what the president was saying. That's what his lawyers are saying. You know, we were cooperating. We're turning over this information. But, you know, that was a decision made early on in this. These investigations, and I think we've talked about this before, if you look at like all of them in the past in Washington, they start off with one thing and then they grow these onion layers as it gets bigger and bigger. And while it might be the collusion question, then it turns into the obstruction of justice question. Then it turns into something else. These things grow tentacles. And that's where a decision early on by lawyers to have full cooperation, turn over everything. You know, there was a lot of talk yesterday from lawyers and Washington types who say that might have not been the best strategy because now you've committed to that and it's all out there and you don't know what people are saying.
We're on with Karen Travers, ABC News White House correspondent. Karen, what I find remarkable is that you go all the way so last week ago and all the talk was Omarosa and what's going on with her tapes. And all of a sudden there's Brennan and now there's Rudy with The Truth is the Truth. It's just amazing to me how the switch gets flipped so quickly in Washington.
And, you know, a cynical person might say that that was very perfectly timed for the White House to put the Brennan news out last week to try and stem the controversy over Omarosa and all the tapes that she was coming out with that said she's also promised that she's got more and that she's got things in her back pocket. So I would not expect that she will be out of the headlines completely.
All right. Karen Travers, ABC News White House correspondent, a fearless seeker of truth.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you. Remember, truth is in the eye of the beholder, Len.
No, that's beauty.
Oh,
beauty's right. In the eye of the beholder. Get your quotes right, will you, Mr. Man of Letters?
Now is your chance to win my personal pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Giants on August 23rd at Citi Field. I want you to be caller number 25. If you are caller number 25 at 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710, you're 25, you're the winner. To purchase tickets, visit Mets.com/tickets. And now let's get the news from another truth teller, Joe Bartlett.
Good morning, Joe. Where's the truth on this one? Governor Cuomo says President Trump is using anger to hide his fear. During a speech at a church in Crown Heights, Cuomo accused the president of trying to divide Americans.
I believe this president is un-American. I believe it's un-American to give cover to white supremacists. I believe it's un-American to deny people's basic right to health care.
And I believe America was never so great.
That's right. Well, he did say that, kind of walked it back over the weekend. What did he say? It was inartful. Anyway, this tirade came after President Trump blasted Cuomo when the governor said that America was never great. This is not great or good or anything. It's getting bad at the Lincoln Tunnel. First weekday morning, the drivers are facing construction on Route 495 leading to the tunnel on the Jersey side. One lane closed in each direction, and it's causing pain today.
Traffic is going to be horrible, and I know that all that traffic is going to go by my house. So I'm going to have to learn how to deal with it.
You should, because the work will continue until the year 2021. Good luck with that today. Pope Francis acknowledging that sexual abuse by priests was long ignored, kept quiet, or silenced. The Pope made that admission today in what the Vatican calls a letter to the people of God. It's his response to a Pennsylvania grand jury report on years of sexual abuse and cover-up, Francis writing that no effort will be spared to prevent abuse and its cover-up. Our news is brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. Harlem is overflowing with garbage, so the city has come up with a unique solution to deal with it. They've taken away garbage cans.
Brilliant. That's what the subways did.
They did. Yeah. 223 garbage cans removed from Harlem, and the sanitation department tells the New York Times the garbage cans are designed for litter, but what's happening is people are cramming them with their household garbage from their homes and their businesses.
Right.
Really?
And they say the fact that there are no garbage cans on the streets now is working.
Yeah. It can't, those would overflow.
That's
those,
right.
Those cans.
And it would be
trash
going on
all over. Yeah.
I thought they took the garbage cans out of the subway so that terrorists wouldn't plant bombs in them.
No.
Because people were bringing other stuff and dumping it in there.
Right. So now people just throw it on the tracks.
Right. Anyway,
throw it on the street.
Critics say instead of getting rid of the garbage cans, the city should probably just put more of them out and empty them more frequently.
Mm. Well, but people are going to bring
If you're going to bring your household garbage.
Business garbage, right. Yeah.
That is ridiculous. All right. As I said, the truth is in the eye of the beholder.
No, it's not.
Well, I was paraphrasing. It's kind of what Rudy meant.
Torturing a quote.
I was for your
own benefit.
That's what Rudy meant. But we want to know, can you handle the truth? We want to know what you think about Rudy's comment that the truth is not the truth.
By the way, we have a winner to the Mets ticket, so clear the phone line so you can now call in about Rudy.
Yes, 1-800-321-0710. It is your chance to weigh in on the truth. But now let's get some truthful traffic from Bernie Biden.
10-WOR.
All right, the phone lines are open, everyone. 800-321-0710. What do you think of this?
Truth isn't truth.
Truth is not truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Rudy Giuliani is saying...
Truth isn't truth.
What do you guys think? 800-321-0710. Before we get to your phone calls, Michael, you got a winner for us.
I do. Congratulations to Alfred Sturm of Sturm and Drang from Great Meadows, New Jersey. He won my tickets to see the Mets take on the Giants on August 23rd. And coming up at 8:30, don't forget, we've got the turning point of last night's game.
Mets won 8-2 in Williamsport, the site of the Little League World Series against Philadelphia. So let me just, before we take your calls, I know a lot of you want to weigh in on Rudy Giuliani saying the truth is not the truth. Let me just read you the president's latest tweet because what else is new? He's going after Mueller and the witch hunt. But he says, disgraced and discredited Bob Mueller and his whole group of angry Democrat thugs.
Ooh.
Spent over 30 hours with the White House counsel, misspelled counsel, what else is new? Only with my approval, for purposes of transparency. Anybody needing that much time when they know there is no Russian collusion is just someone, ... Now, he didn't finish the tweet. Didn't matter. 3,800 people retweeted it. 5,000 liked it. They have no idea what he's going to say,
but they liked it anyway.
Then he finally finished it. Anybody needing that much time when they know there is no Russian collusion is just someone looking for trouble. They're enjoying ruining people's lives and refuse to look at the real corruption on the Democrat side, the lies, the firings, the deleted emails, and so much more.
Benghazi.
Mueller's angry Dems are looking to impact the election. They are a national disgrace, I tell you.
Oh, this battle's heating up, Len. Exhausting you, but I think it's fun.
Donald's got to come up with a new tune. Hey, John in Flushing, what do you think of Rudy Giuliani saying that?
Truth isn't truth.
There you go, John. You're up.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good. Welcome back. I was going crazy last week with just Len.
Wait a second. Bartlett was here. That's a diss on Bartlett.
No, I love Joe Bartlett.
Okay, fine.
All right. I think, Len, you're really going over the edge with this. If you listen to the whole quote, if Natalie says she has a great time in Italy and her husband said no, which one's telling the truth? That's what it comes down to.
Me, of course.
Well, you know that. Bad example,
no,
John.
No question there, John.
John, that was weak.
No, how's that weak? If the example Rudy gave was a perfect example. President Trump said no. Brennan says yes. So who's telling the truth?
Yeah, that's what it was. It's a lawyerly thing.
Truth isn't the truth. Thanks, John.
Correct.
Appreciate it.
Hey, let's go to Dan on line four in Dutchess County. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just tuned in, and it didn't take long to see what this week's narrative was going to be. You know, last week it was Brennan. Yeah, beginning of the week it was Omarosa.
You're right.
So what's going on this week? Let's talk about anything but all the good things that are going on. It seems to be the media narrative.
Oh, so there's a media narrative, huh?
Not to disappoint, I turned on and boom, got this week's talking points right off the bat.
So what would you like? Is to come on the air and say that unemployment is down?
Well, we could announce it since it's important.
Well, we announce it. We announce it in the news, but where's the...
Come on, Len. I thought I'd come on with a witty comment here. You know, here you're shooting me down. Now you got me all jumbled up.
Well, Dan.
Well, you know, Dan.
Dan will be the judge of
Dan,
it's witty.
You know, Len.
No, but
is...
you're right. Dan, you're absolutely... You are, by the way, you are correct. I just want you to know that. You are correct.
And Dan, you know, you can tell that Len is getting increasingly defensive about this Mueller investigation.
I am?
Oh, yeah. It's gonna turn out to be a big nothing burger.
Nothing burger. What do you like on a nothing burger? I usually like mustard and ketchup.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks. No, Dan's right.
No, he's right. But
it's a media narrative? I mean...
Very much so. The New York Times, when it had its bombshell story about McGahn, White House counsel... meeting with Mueller, they made it seem like, oh my gosh, he's flipped. He's giving Mueller all this stuff on Trump. And you read the story, they don't know what he's giving him. And buried, it says, and by the way, Trump waived executive privilege and let him testify.
Now, I will agree that the media was all over Omarosa, although I read with interest that CNN turned her down.
Yeah, I saw that. Don Lemon.
Don Lemon was offered the first interview on CNN, and CNN has turned her down. So I understand that could be a media narrative that's anti-Trump. But listen, Trump's the one who stripped Brennan's clearance. That's going to make the news. Well, that's not going to be a media narrative.
Well, Brennan was out there denouncing Trump every chance he got.
So that's not like a media narrative to deflect or take away from the quote, the good things that Trump is doing.
Hey, let's go to Ed on line two in the Bronx. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Ed.
Yeah, I mean, just to, Len, just to back up Riedel's point, you know, from watching Perry Mason and, you know, when you go to court, the witness has to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But neither the prosecutor nor the defense attorney has to do that. I think that's what Riedel's making. You know, a lawyer creates a narrative to win his case.
Yeah.
You know, and also like Comey. Mueller and that, and most politicians are lawyers. That's something to think about.
Hey, and by the way, I don't disagree with that narrative that you go to a courtroom and you get two incredibly different versions of the so-called truth. But I certainly understand that argument.
Yeah, and that's what's going on in the news. I mean, look, I'm a liberal, okay? But, I mean, what's going on now is it's like watching a crazy lawsuit where both people are totally partisan. And it's so destructive. I mean, and I think most people in the country are sick and tired of it.
I am. I know I am. I was telling Michael, thanks, Ed. I was telling Michael that over the weekend when the Manafort thing would come up or Michael Cohen or something, I'd switch to music. I mean, I am tired of that because everyone's just going to dig in their heels on either side. Whatever team you're on, boom, dig in your heels and there you go. Nothing. There's no meeting of the minds. Let's try to squeeze in one more. Hey, Vinny, on the island, what do you think, Vinny?
Well, I think Rudy's 100% correct. He's a lawyer. His proven credentials are there. He's had Gotti locked up. He knows what he's doing. He's protecting his client. I'm sure he had to talk with Donald. I'm sure he told him to be quiet, let me handle this, and step aside because he's doing his job. And you know what? There are versions of the truth. And then the truth is subjective. You can ask any lawyer. You can argue both sides. I read a very good book about it. That both Cummels argue both sides of a case, and it can be done very eloquently and make a lot of sense. So
we hear you, Vinny.
As I said, the truth is in the eye of the beholder.
The beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Thanks, Vinny. But facts are facts. I guess truth is interesting that. Facts should be facts, not alternative facts, by the way.
Yes.
Kellyanne Conway says. But truth can, that's interesting.
Create a narrative if you're a lawyer.
Giuliani's
a lawyer. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, he seems a little wacky to me. Crazy Uncle Rudy. Hey, when we return, does spelling count? You might have to ask Al Sharpton. iHeartRadio is giving you your weekly mixtape. Every week, we're creating a personal mixtape just for you. It's based on the music you love that you thumb up and that you listen to the most. Look for your fresh mix every Monday. Open the iHeartRadio app and find yours now. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, and did I mention all free? Here's Traffic Now, Bernie Viter.
And a very good Monday to you. Now, Len is kind of crowing over there because the president has been tweeting and he spelled council wrong. How does he spell it? C-O-U-N-S-E-L?
Is that he spells it C-E-L.
C-E-L.
Yeah, council, instead of right. S-E-L.
Right.
No, but I'm just saying, listen, it's the same story. It's a witch hunt. It's rigged. It's a disgrace. Now he's tweeting about collusion. I mean, it's the same thing over and over and over again.
And so, he keeps misspelling council.
Yeah, but that's whatever.
Remember Dan Quayle? He misspelled potato.
He did. I just think the president needs some new material. I mean, when you say the same thing over and over, it loses impact. It just becomes white noise.
All right, so I grant you that the president should not enter a spelling bee competition.
Fine.
Nor should Dan Quayle, and neither should Al Sharpton. He was on his show botching up the spelling.
Listen, I guess he was saying that, show some respect. Was he chastising the president?
Yes, because the president called Omarosa a dog, and Sharpton said that is an animalistic slur, and he linked it up to something that Aretha Franklin said.
Yeah.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Show some respect.
The next time you get a black woman and a beagle confused, remember this, I got you.
Well, remember this, respect is spelled R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Well, let's see, here's the Sharpton version.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
And here's the Aretha version. Okay.
No, he just mix up a vowel.
I before E.
Come on.
Except before C. That's it. No. It's I before E, except before C. Is that how it goes?
How could you misspell? I mean, he's singing the song. Everybody knows the song. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. Not R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
So what's this Obama thing with respect that you gave me, Natalie? What's the deal on this thing?
It's one of these, how do you call it? A mashup. They take a whole bunch of archival footage and they have them singing.
This is Obama's version.
Yes.
Okay. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you get
just
home.
A little bit,
baby.
Just a little
when
bit.
You get
just a little bit.
Hey.
Just a little bit.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Take care.
T-C-B.
Hey. A little respect.
Hey.
That's enough of that. That's enough of that. That's
there.
But
you know what I couldn't bear? I was very sad when Aretha Franklin died, but I couldn't bear them showing over and over again the president at the Kennedy Center honors when Aretha Franklin sang Natural Woman, and they show Obama wiping a tear away from his face because he's
very
so
sentimental.
God.
Carole King was there. Come on, Carole King was losing her mind.
She was going completely crazy.
That was a great performance.
It was, but they were overdoing it up there in the presidential box. Did you see Carole King bopping around, like screaming, yelling, throwing her hands out there like some stupid teeny bopper fan, and Obama wiping the tear away. So moving. Blech.
Are you done? Wow, what a speech. It's a good thing you're a writer,
CNN played it over and over and over again.
We have that Obama video up on our website at 710WOR.com.
/Len and Michael.
What?
And Obama is singing to our current president, Donald Trump.
Oh.
So
okay, there you go.
It's a kind of fun thing to watch.
Hey, how about Bill Maher here? Did you see this one?
Yes, I like Bill Maher because he is unpredictable. He was on his show on HBO the other night, and he was talking about how he thinks that Alex Jones, who is a nut job, should get a chance to speak. He says that if you're a liberal, liberals believe in free speech, And it applies to everybody. He says, I don't like Alex Jones, but Alex Jones gets to speak. Everybody gets to speak, Maher says.
Well, let's listen to Bill Maher.
So I want to talk about free speech for a minute because Alex Jones, who is not my friend and who tells crazy lies about me, is thrown off Twitter, I think, and Facebook and a few other platforms. I think he's going to...
Thank God!
Well, if you're a liberal, you're supposed to be for free speech. That's free speech for the speech you hate. That's what free speech means. We're losing the thread of the concepts that are important to this country. If you care about the real American... Or you don't. And if you do, it goes for every side. I don't like Alex Jones, but Alex Jones gets to speak. Everybody gets to speak.
There you go.
Well, the argument has always been, though, that Twitter and Facebook, they are private companies, and the First Amendment does not necessarily apply to a private company, and they can determine what they put up on their platforms.
Well, how about, speaking of Twitter, and I thought you were going to go there, is that CEO Jack Dorsey says, I fully admit that Twitter, my Twitter, is left-leaning.
We need to constantly show that we are not adding our own bias, which I fully admit is more left-leaning. And I think it's important to articulate our bias and to share it with people so that people understand us. But we need to remove all bias from how we act and our policies and our enforcement.
Well, he admits it. They're left-leaning.
So what does that mean, that they have like these lefty commies there in Twitterland who are monitoring all everybody's tweets, and if they find something that's right-wing and they don't like it, they remove it? Is that what he's saying?
Well, they're claiming that social media discriminates against, that's what the president does too. A president claims that the social media discriminates against Republican and conservative voices. That's the point.
Well, I mean, I would defend them throwing Alex Jones off. I don't think we need that kind of nonsense out there. So, hey, when we get back, our pal ABC News analyst Steve Roberts is going to talk to us about the truth. The truth and Rudy. Steve's always good. We welcome his perspective, even though it's on the left. But first, let's get the news at 8 o'clock.